next to Round Hit Studios.
This is an 808.
It is.
But we do kind of have the 808's granddad in the room via Paddy from Roundhead Studios. G'day, mate. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Really good. And you've brought along a cute little friend.
A little cute CompuRhythm CR78.
That name again, CompuRhythm CR78, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to read along with us at the same time, Google it.
Mm. And it is indeed the granddaddy. Its kick drum is pretty likened to the 808. Yeah,
it's so rolling, like it looks like it's kind of got the color scheme. You can see the precursor to the whole situation, yeah, the layout totally. Of the 808.
Yeah, totally. It's that Roland got that thing down. They got that style down. It's colorful. It's friendly.
There's a lot of buttons for a rhythm machine. This is top of the line.
It looks super 70s. Is it just sort of on a big rack of gear up at Roundhead for people to play with if they're using the studio?
It's usually just sitting beside the speakers there. It's like they made these things as like an inspiration tool. So, you know, that it was back in the 70s, you know, to get jamming, you'd need a drummer. Mm-hmm. And this thing kind of solved the issue. You could just hit a button. It's really, really simple, friendly. Hit another button, change the rhythm real quick, and you're away.
On the super cheap realm of that, I find like Casio keyboards great for that. Just the rhythms on them. They all have like, if you're a musician out there and you don't know what genre of music you want to make, you can kind of just go and check out the rhythm, the classic rhythms on those things, and it really gives you a clear idea. Does this come with, what's the selection of rhythms that we got here?
I think we've got like...
We've got waltz.
Rock one.
Rock one.
Slow waltz. Should we get it going? Let's get it going.
Disco.
Rock disco waltz.
What are we going with first?
This is a disco two.
Yes!
Woo!
Top of the track's back, baby!
Yeah, sick. So we got a couple of little sliders. We can change things in and out.
This is one of the situations where you can say things like analog and shit like that, eh? Like, it means something, you know?
Yeah, she's definitely got some crusty bits in there as well.
How do you mean? Like, few faults?
Yeah, like, you know, I don't know. They're just like... Things going a bit to shit. You know, it's 40, 50 years old. It gets going.
One of my fun things to do with these types of things is mashing in a few presets at the same time. Is it capable to do that on this?
Yeah, I think we've got rock and mambo at the moment. But hit it smack.
So you can kind of like mash together random drum beats and get real freaky deaky stuff. But this one also has, you can remove stuff, can't you?
Yeah, so we can cancel out the snare, take out that. And it's got this sweet little balance knob here, so it's like, this is basically what they used to call tone.
Right.
But you'd flick that down there, and you've just got your hi-hats, or you'd come up here.
Yo.
Somebody ring up and rap right now, you're more than welcome.
And then the monster machine is the little fill button.
Yes!
It looks like Darth Vader's chest, which is something I can totally get behind.
But yeah, a total beast made in the 70s, made for, you know, the ultimate sort of creation for musicians to just jam out to and get inspiration real quick for a...
What are the certain sort of unique characteristics or charms or quirks of this particular
I guess
piece
like
of
the beauty of like these analog things is you've got this big tempo knob on the front here, which you can just easily just like crank, or you're just like, this thing's too fast, this thing's too slow. You're not going into you know, Logic and sort of reprogram your drum beat to kind of.
But like all of the rhythm machines, this is like this is the boss, John. This is like as good as it gets, pretty much. There's there's nothing. This is top of the line, and then it started, basically, kind of went into the 808 and things like that.
They got carried away with all their little features and things. This is just, it's simple and. And goes.
It does look like a piece of furniture.
Yeah.
So. Should we hit a jam so people can hear it out in the wild?
What do we want to play? Do we want to go straight to the top and play the Who, or do we want to play some local stuff?
Yeah, let's do the local one. The track on here was actually pretty interesting because Samisi from Marlin Streaming played me a bunch of the demos before we started working on the record, and he had obviously a computer version of this machine,
right.
And he played the song, and it was just like CompuRhythm right through the whole track, and I was like, man. That's so sick. How am I gonna make that better? And then we got into the studio, and he wanted live drums and stuff. But we actually ended up keeping the original pattern, and I found how to make it on this bad boy, and replaced it. And so this is the actual drum machine on this track.
It's great new sound that they've got as well. Congrats, Marlin Streaming. Yeah. There it is. Oh mate.
Yeah, with the old fade in button. Yeah.
I've been stuck inside.
Is that what I need? Is that what I need? Close your eyes and try to focus on the other things. The other things that live in harmony. They're hard to see behind the cabbage.
Listen to the CR78 there, just holding it all together.
Mm.
How did you record that? Just straight in?
Yeah, I think I straight in, and then I think maybe off to a little amp with some spring reverb. Oh, there's a little like twang in there.
Yeah.
Got to get that good, you know.
Very nice.
Layer analog up with some more.
How was Marlon's streaming session on the whole?
It was amazing. It was fast paced. Like it was. I think we did maybe 5 days initially, which was pretty full on. I think I'm not sure how much made it on the album, but we did 13 songs, mm-hmm. And it was pretty full on, all live stuff. And we did it to the Studer 2-inch 24 track machine.
Because you've got two rooms at Roundhead.
Mm.
Was it upstairs or downstairs?
It was upstairs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was upstairs. Neve console. And yeah, the tape machine. And it was great. They're fantastic musicians, and it was all about capturing the vibe rather than slaving away on kind of minute details. And I think
it's a great result. It's sonically absolutely amazing. So
yeah, proud of those guys, and a bit of a departure from the sounds before, which is quite cool. And
kind of like, you know, I feel like it's kind of like a realm that everyone's slipping into, that sort of little slacker Dunedin vibe, and they just sort of kind of pop their collar a little bit.
I'm gonna press
the button.
Let's hit it.
Yes!
Alright, let's get some.
Yeah, let's get jive it up. Slow rock.
Ooh.
Ooh, it's doing a double tap. Yep.
That's almost metal, isn't it? That's almost like, we're almost getting like...
Kraut. Kraut rock. Boogie.
Favorite drum beat, John? Do you need anything?
Maybe some tango?
Do you have
some tango?
I've put it on like an auto measure thing now, so it should count a few bars and then change its vibe a little bit.
There you go.
Hey! Ooh. It sounds like a real person. How did they get a little person in the box?
How is the accent?
I think the accent, like, it's like one of those ones where you can't really like figure it out. I think it like... Oh yeah, there you go.
Slightly changes the...
Gives you a bit of a slap in the face every bar. Yeah, so that section there, that's the...
It's like the programmable part.
This is the programmy bit. So we had this... I got on the long fade out, which is quite a nice little feature there.
If anybody wants to see the CR78, which obviously was made in 1978, I've actually just chucked a little picture up on our Facebook page. So have a look at what we're mucking around with right now, if you like.
Yeah, what I forgot to mention was that the reason this was... There was plenty of rhythm arrangers at the time that everyone was bringing out, Korg and Roland, but this one was the first programmable guy. So there's a little section here where... You can store, I think it's 4 patterns, but
that's
I assume they sold it together, but there's a really rare little switch called the WS1, which has got a silent note and then like a play note button, and you kind of like tap in what you want, and they're virtually impossible to find these days, and we don't have one, so we can't actually program our own rhythms.
Should we talk about the price of the CR78 if I was to walk down the street and buy one? Oh. This is kind of like a fun part. Not that you can do that.
Driving the price
up. Yeah, let's not drive the price up in New Zealand for
collectors. What are you talking about? It doesn't matter. If someone wants to go buy it now, they'll do it, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I guess the moral of the story is it's really expensive, and if you want to use it, it's available at Roundhead. If I do a session at Roundhead, I'm allowed to have a muck around on this.
Yeah, all the gear's just up there for use. But I mean, the thing is not. I guess the price reflects the commonality of them, and that's the thing. It's like they are amazing, but they're just kind of rare now. Around, you know.
It's heavily mechanical. You know, a lot of things can go wrong.
Mm, so. There is indeed, but she's robust.
Now, is this come into Roundhead's collection of sort of tools? Via the studio, or is it the Finns which have acquired it at some point?
I assume the Finns probably over time, but it's kind of like one of those things where we're always on the lookout as well. Something pops up on Trademan, it's like, oh shit, that's the Combi Rhythm. We got to get one of those, you know, because they are like that. But I don't know the direct history for this one, but I can assume it's probably been around for years.
Has Neil touched it or not?
Oh yeah, he loves to write with it.
But obviously you engineers at the studio can sort of have got some discretion to grab stuff every once in a while.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I guess the Butte thing is with the studio is it's a lot of it is Neil's lovely gear that he's collected over time. But you know, when he's not in town or he's away, it's like there's this gear that's sort of, you don't want to be collecting dust. It's not a museum, you know. So as long as we're taking good care of it.
But also, you don't want to leave your fingerprints on it either.
Yeah, exactly. Put it exactly where you found it.
Nice one. Should we take it back and should we go out on the Who? Eminence Front. Whereabouts does it feature in this track?
It's right at the start as well, I think. It's like these ones are always the classic things where it's just holding down the groove.
It's kind of like a clip track, like before.
Absolutely.
The clip track, right?
And that's the beauty of this thing, and I've used that a lot. Is that it's like it's a better version of a clip track.
Yeah, dude.
You don't feel like you're playing to a computer.
Fuck, I love drum machines, man.
Yeah, we got plenty more weeks of these. I don't know. I've got plenty of drum machines up there.
Looking forward to this.
All right, Paddy from Roundhead. Thank you very much for coming in with the CR78.
Yeah, maybe we should. I don't know. I don't name my drum machines, but yeah, I don't know.
Is that not our one that you're leaving here?
Oh, yeah.
So you can go.
No, thanks for having me. It's awesome, and I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Right on, bro. Right on.
There it is. You can hear it right away.
Studios.